Praise God. Oh, that was so sweet. Oh, thank you, my dear husband, for those beautiful words. They encourage me. They strengthen me. And I'm so grateful to the Lord. It's because God has used you to help me to become who I am. And I'm so grateful. In fact, I thank the Lord that he used you to cause me to become a mother. Amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to all of the wonderful mothers here. And as has been said, you are so special. You're special to God. God has made you uniquely you. And God has given you, us, each one of us, as mothers, a precious, precious gift, that gift of motherhood. And I'm sure if you're like me, you wouldn't change it for the world. There's so much that we learn through being mothers, so much that I've learned about the Lord during my time of pregnancy, and I've said this before, so much that I learned about the love of God. I learned about sacrifice. It's a depth of love that is so is very difficult to even articulate as a mother. If I asked probably any mother here to just describe what it is or what it means to be a mother, what is it that you've learned, we would have so many stories, but I'm sure the main one would be that love of a mother that is just indescribable. It's a gift from God. No matter how much we may be, sometimes we may be discouraged during our with our children, but even in those times, that love does not decrease. And there's a tenacity that God gives us that we won't or we shouldn't give up on them, because God is doing something in our lives, and thank God that he would allow us to participate in our children's life, to be there for them. So again, happy Mother's Day. I pray that you are not just celebrated today, but that you are honored by those that love you, your children and even others. I pray that you are just so honored and just know how special you are. Amen. I thank God for my mother. I honor her today, who's gone on to be with the Lord. And I say it every year, she's one of the sweetest, kindest, loving people that you could have ever known. I loved being with her. I loved spending time with her. And she loves spending time with her children. For that, I love her. I honor her. And I'm sure many of you have the same for your moms. So thank God. Thank God for my children. A couple of them are here. My grandchildren, it's been a joy just raising you, and it's been a joy. It still is a joy just watching what God is doing in your lives. Especially to thank the Lord for blessing me with the gift of what some might call stepson, my son Maurice. God brought him into my life, first of all, at the age of when he was 9. And he came to join our family when he was 19, I want to say. And I've had an opportunity to just watch him grow and become the man that he is. And his lovely wife, Chantel, my daughter in love, and who has blessed us with two wonderful grandsons, Malcolm and Marcus, now 19 and 20, almost 21. And our baby granddaughter, Oni, I think Oni is up there in the balcony somewhere. I think she's up there somewhere. Krista's a wonderful, wonderful mother. It blesses me to see the love that she pours out on little Oni, the protection. And you know how sometimes those little babies get where they think they're acrobats and they do that back bend and they're that close from hitting the granite on the counter that's granite. You go, oh my God, I know God's got the angels watching over this child. But it's really, really a blessing. Today, I really want to encourage mothers to know the power of God, a Christian mother, the power of God that's in us. God has given us something so precious and so powerful. And sometimes we can minimize that because we feel like we are ordinary people, ordinary moms. You know, many of us, we do the things that mothers do. But God has given us something so special and so very powerful that he wants to use to influence and impact the lives of others. I was looking at the word others a little while ago, and I said, oh, okay. If I had a little M, I'd throw an M up there this morning. And we're focusing on others, but just imagine there's an M up there this morning, okay? We're focusing on mothers. So someone was so sweet, Sister Sheila Benson Kelly, she's so sweet to send cards along with many of you. And this card, really, all of her cards catch my attention, and the cards that you send, this one caught my attention. And it said, and I hope I can remember it, it says, the loveliest masterpiece of the heart of God is the love of a mother. I said, wow. And I read it again. The loveliest masterpiece of the heart of God is the love of a mother. Thank you, Sister Sheila, for sending that. That is so true. And I'm sure the fathers would say, yeah, and that of a father too, but we're talking about the mothers. As I was really asking the Lord about what he would have me share today, I felt like I had gotten the title a while before, but I didn't want to just take a story from the Bible. Ooh, don't throw rocks at me. I will refer to some stories in the Bible, but sometimes if we don't see some things happening, like, you know, here on earth or where we are, we look at Bible stories as, oh, that was God back there. That was the God of the Bible back there. But God is doing some things among us. He's doing some things where he wants us to take notice. So with that in mind, again, we know there are all kinds of stories in the Bible about women who just did amazing things for God. Y'all gonna help me today. For instance, women like Esther, throw them out for me, come on. Ruth, Sarah, who? Deborah. You would say Deborah, wouldn't you? Where's Sister Ruth? Is Sister Ruth here today? Ruth Jackson. Okay. Mary Magdalene, who? Sarah. Naomi. Okay, all of those. And we know those stories, and they're powerful. They did some phenomenal things. But I want to talk about one woman whose name is not in the Bible, but I know it's on the heart of God. And her story is one that is inspiring, is evidence of what God can do in us and through us if we allow ourselves to be used by him. So this thought that I'm going to share with you, it shows how God can use all of our life's experience, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it, to prepare us for his purposes, to use us for his glory and honor. This story begins with the woman who faced her own pain, hurt, rejection. Her father left her mother when she was 2 years old. She grew up in a small town in North Carolina. Just has some serious, just challenges in her life, as many of us do, most of us do, perhaps all of us do. Just what my children would call a regular mom. They used to talk about a regular mom, and they came up with this description of this regular mom, but just an ordinary mom, just like us. But this woman had a, later on in life, she came to know the Lord, and she held on to grace, faith, and hope, and a hope that anchored her in some of the most, I'm going to say one of the most crucial moments of her life. And that grace that God gave her allowed her to empathize with a hurting, sick man, and a faith that gave her courage to love him back from a devastating situation. This woman, and I'm purposefully not calling her name yet because you would know the whole story and it would make my preparation kind of in vain. So I hope you don't catch it right off. But this woman was an ordinary woman again, as I said. She was preparing to go to work. And her routine, unlike some of us, was before she did anything, she would talk to God about her day. Lord, what would you have me to do? Who would you have me to meet? What would you have me to say? Who would you want me to help? And she would ask the Lord to just lead her and guide her. And this particular morning, she did something different. She began this particular morning with reading or perhaps quoting the 23rd Psalm. And of course, you know, this is a scripture that most of us know. We grew up being taught the 23rd Psalm, the one that begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it ends with, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." So she quoted that scripture that particular morning, still not knowing what was about to happen that day. This mom had a son who had a disability. He could not walk. She had two children, but this son had a disability. She would get up every morning at 5:00. She would make him breakfast. He didn't like cold cereal like many of you kids don't. He liked a hot breakfast, so she fixed him the bacon, the eggs, the grits, the pancakes like my husband made for me this morning. Thank you very much. And by the way, he doesn't just do this on Mother's Day. He does this as a way of life many times, along with the beautiful lilies that he bought me. And they just nicely fumigated the whole house, that even my children were like, "What is that smell? Oh, it makes me think I'm on an island somewhere." So thank you. And thank you, Sister Betty, for my other calla lily as well. But anyway, she would make him a hot breakfast every morning. She would wait for him to come down the stairs in the morning because he could not walk. So he had to literally kind of drag himself down the stairs. So while he was struggling to get downstairs, this mother was preparing lunch for him. Mind you, she gets up 5:00 in the morning, she makes him a hot breakfast, then she makes him lunch so he can have something to eat on during the day. So while she's making his lunch, she's getting ready to go to work. Mind you, she has three jobs. She gets dressed, she heads to work, and she's at her desk by 7 a.m. Some of you probably do the same thing. Later that morning, her boss asked her, he so happened to ask this particular employee to sit in for another employee as this employee was getting ready for lunch. So he asked this particular employee to sit in. She did what she was asked. Shortly after, she gets a very disturbing phone call about some things in her personal life. This is going to all kind of connect after a while. Just some personal things that was going on in her life. She got some bad news. I don't know if they told her she was going to be evicted from her home or something very staggering. So she begins to cry, and then again she begins to what? Talk to God. And as he tells her to put aside, the Lord tells her to put aside her weight and just do as he says. That was his word to her for the day. 5 minutes later, the unthinkable happens. That morning, a 21-year-old man arms himself with an AK-47 assault rifle that was used, kind of a weapon that was used in World War II, and it can shoot more than 500 rounds of ammunition in less than 1 minute. He walks into the office, waving his weapon at her, saying, "This is no joke. This is not a joke. We're all going to die today." So she became overwhelmed. Of course she did, just like we would. Fear just overwhelmed her. She began to talk to God. She sat trembling, and she asked the Lord, she said, "God, what are we going to do today?" The Holy Spirit began to direct her. She began to think on Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. And some of the, for some of you, this may be your special scripture that says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path." The word of God she had heard even prior to this event, as she was attending church, her pastor had done a message on being anchored in God. He talked about the encouragement of hope. This scripture also comes from Hebrews. It talks about, it says that hope is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I'm hoping you're seeing something of your own journey as we're talking here. Her pastor taught her to focus on 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." She learned also the art of listening and not always talking. Had she not learned this art, she could have been so much into talking, "God, what do I do? God, what do I do?" And not be at a place where she could hear the instructions that the Lord was giving. So we understand that prayer goes two ways. And most of us, when it comes to prayer, we do more talking than we do listening. But it's very important for us to listen so that God can give us wisdom, that God can give us a word of guidance and direction. If you recall this story, you'll probably remember this woman. Her name is Antoinette Tough. This situation happened at Ronald E. McNair Learning Academy. It's an elementary school here in Atlanta. God prepared this woman. I'm not here I'm not trying to push her book or anything of that sort, but I wanted to bring something that is close to home, something that hopefully when we hear it, we will trust that, okay, God did this for this woman. He gave her guidance during this devastating time. I cannot imagine the kind of fear she incurred as she sat at her desk, and this man has this big AK-47 waving it in her face. And she didn't know what was going to happen. There were over 800, I believe it was like 870-something children in that school. You know what God used? He used what I call the mama mode. He used the mama mode. Antoinette began to talk to this young man. And it was a sad case. It was sad that he was mentally ill. She began to talk to him as if he were her own child. She said, "Baby, it's gonna be all right." She said, "I've been through some situations too." She said, "As a matter of fact, there were some things that I went through just this morning." Who would have ever thought that mama thing would disarm, so to speak? When I say disarm, no, he still had his gun. But it disarmed a man who the enemy was using to try to wreak havoc in that school. She went in that mama mode. It was directed by the Holy Spirit. So when I say God has given us something so unique and so powerful, we don't want to belittle that thing because it feels so ordinary, and it feels so, because it's not something spooky and it's not something that's some big phenomenal, but it's something that's, remember before when we talked about influence and God led me to a definition of influence that talks about the subtlety of influence from the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit influences us, it's in a subtle way. It's not so, but it's in a subtle way. And it happens just throughout our lifestyle as a Christian, where the Holy Spirit influences us through the Word of God, being taught the Word of God, learning the ways of God. So God instilled, and just think about it. She was a caregiver. I mean, anytime you're a mom, you're a caregiver, but I mean, she had a son who had special needs. So even being a caregiver, there was something, I believe there was something in that that kicked in that caused a compassion in her to go beyond just the average compassion. Compassion is valuable. Compassion is the heart of God. Jesus had compassion on us. He pitied us. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Compassion is not some little simple little cute thing. It's a powerful virtue that God has given us. So this mama mode kicked in. I remember, even when I watched the video, the movie that was done as a result of this story, it blew me away. Because God used something so, as we would say, small and almost, well, it certainly wasn't insignificant, but something just so ordinary to divert what could have been one of the worst, deadliest situations in America. And guess what? The nation still took notice of this. I don't think God was trying to make Sister Antoinette a hero or shero. That wasn't what it was about. It's really not about us. Not to say that God doesn't love. He loves each one of us as if we were his only child, Angela. But he wasn't trying to make her some big hero. But God displayed before the nation his power through an ordinary person. Not only did the local news do this, the national news got wind of it. They did a story. It was so funny because she was getting ready to do an interview. I forget if it was CNN or what, but President Barack Obama was trying to reach her by phone. And finally got through to her She was getting ready for an interview, and she's pretty much saying, oh, can you call me back? I was like, girl, you're too ordinary now. But he called her to tell her how much he appreciated what she had done. She said, you have my number. Y'all call me anytime. That sounds like something I would say. That sounds just like something I would say. President, Mama, you know, you and Miss Michelle, y'all have my number. Y'all feel free to call me back anytime. But God did this to display his power. His power. And also, those who, I guess the psychologists, the law enforcement, the different ones said, quote, pretty much quote, they said the technique that she used is something you usually only get through professional training. They were blown away. They were blown away because the Holy Ghost directed technique, that mama thing that she used, that diverted this situation. And look, now the young man, Michael Brendan Hill was his name. After a while, of course, you know, he had her doing things. He had her telling different ones in the office to do this and do that. He was giving the orders. The script flipped where she began to tell him what to do, and he did it. That's real mama mode right there. And he obeyed. It blows my mind. It blows my mind when I see the hand of God. I love it when God does things like that in such a just an ordinary manner. And the world has to take notice and say, we've never seen anything like this. It had to be God. God, thank you. But a part that I don't want to make, I want us to really take notice of the fact, though, that had she not been taught the things of God, she would not have been able to do what she did. Because when you're in a place of fear, probably the most fear I've experienced, sort of like that, was a time when someone had the audacity to break into our house, and little Woody and I were there, and the alarm is just going, didn't know what was going to happen, and I was afraid. That was much different from this situation. She had a big AK-47 being waved in her face. And you know, when fear grips you, you can't think normally. You can't. Antoinette said she didn't even know what to pray. She didn't know what all she said, God, all she could say was, God, what are we going to do now? But had she not had that word, she made it very plain. And she put a lot of emphasis on the fact that she had recently been taught a series, Pastor Walker, a series of messages on being anchored in the Lord. And speaking of a series, someone said the other day as we were at a pastor's luncheon, and they were asking this different things about the church today and changes we need to make, blah, blah, blah. And a lady sitting next to me talked about how pastors teach series. And she said, I believe they teach series because they want everybody to get the message. And everybody's not there all the time. So he has to keep doing series so it can eventually reach everybody. I'm not talking about y'all Cross Culture Church. So some might get it on Wednesday, Sunday, and all that. He has to keep teaching series. And then y'all get bored with the series, but you can play a part in that. If you don't want to get bored, but we don't get bored, we get a powerful word. Amen. Amen. But she had been taught a series of messages on being anchored and being anchored in hope. So she had the faith to trust God, and she had that hope that this thing was going to end up all right. And it ended up all right. I am so grateful to the Lord for how he used this lady. And I had just seen her at Sam's a couple of days before this situation happened. And she was really sweet to me because they were handing out, you know, they had not those little free things. And her son told her, there's Miss Francine over there. Mom, you got two of those little gifts. Give her one. I was like, thank you, Derek. So when this thing hit, I was blown away. But I'm so glad. I honor the Lord for what he did in that. So God will use us. If we avail ourselves to him, when we don't take lightly the things that God would have. Sometimes he doesn't let us see the outcome like this. Sometimes he'll just, I believe many times he will use us to influence and impact people's lives, and we never even know about it. Or we may find out about it later. But nonetheless, you're a vessel that God wants to use. We all are. Mothers, fathers, children, all of us, God wants to use us for his glory. And I know this, it sounds so cliche. It sounds so, you know, yeah, God wants to use us. God wants to use us. He does. He wants to use us. Amen. One last story that's still connected to this. So back to Sister Antoinette, she was invited to the White House. She was getting ready to board the plane to go to the White House. Right before she boarded, there was a terrible incident in Washington, D.C. at the Navy place. And this young man, it was a similar situation where he went in. I believe this place was about 2 miles from the White House. And he went in and he began shooting up everything. So she could not board the plane to go to D.C. So anyway, it was a Navy Yard close to the White House. Unfortunately, 12 workers were killed. And there was a man, one of the employees there. Thank God again for compassion. Began to think about another employee there who was blind. So instead of this good soul running out like everybody else was, and of course, had I been there, I would have been running out too. I would. But he remembered that there was a worker in another part of the building. And instead of him running out, he went to find this coworker. He takes him by the arm and he got him out of the building. This man's name was Omar Grant. He got him out of the building. Compassion. Compassion. Compassion is valuable. So thank God for the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Thank God for his word that is truth. Thank God that he's given us access to him at any time, at any place. We can call on him and he hears us. He wants to use us even far more than we want to be used. As our theme this year is the year of godly influence. Pardon me. It is our prayer that each one of us would so yield ourselves and avail ourselves to God and allow God to do what he desires to do in us. Let's walk in love with one another. Let's love those that are not like us. Jesus does. Let's love those that offend us. Let's love those that don't offend us. And today, I hope that we have found something. We have been reminded, I'll say. We've been reminded of God's word. We've been reminded of how God wants to use us for his glory and his honor. That's the power. What Antoinette Tuff demonstrated here is the power of one. The power of one doesn't always take a big, large group of people. But many times we hesitate to do something unless we got a crowd with us. But I believe that sometimes the glory of God is displayed in a bigger way when it's the minority, when it's the smallest group, when it's one, when it's two. So my prayer today is that we will come to understand the value of compassion, the power of even empathy, and certainly the power of one. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your grace, your power. Lord, many times we just ask your forgiveness for the many times that we underestimate your power. Forgive us, Lord, for even perhaps the times that you desire to use us, but because we didn't think it was anything of significance, it didn't stand out in some big way. It wasn't something extraordinary. We backed away or we felt like it wasn't you, therefore we didn't move or we didn't allow you to move. Forgive us, O Lord. Father, I pray today especially for those of us who are mothers. I pray, Lord, that you would give us your wisdom, because sometimes we love to the degree that we love our children to the degree, Lord, that we can stand in your way. We can miss it so easily because we want the best for them. And Lord, we just ask you to use us to be godly influencers, certainly first of all in our families, Lord, and then to others. Lord, I pray today for mothers who have struggled, even much like Antoinette, who went through an abandonment, those who suffered or may even still suffer rejection. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that those things that would dare to try to stand in the way of what you desire to do in us, pray that you would cause us to triumph through them. Can't ask that they be removed, they're there, but we ask you to take us beyond any struggle, any challenge, any mishap, anything, Lord, that would try to hinder us from being all that you desire us to be. Cause us to know that there's a power in us that's greater than any power outside of us, oh God. May we be examples to our children. May we be examples to our neighbors, to our friends, and just allow your glory to shine through us, oh God. May we be willing vessels, fit for your use. Thank you for your word that is truth. Help us to even understand even the more of your word. Help us to love your word, to love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this day that you've caused to be set aside, that mothers can be celebrated and honored and just loved. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You may be here today and you're at a place where you've come to realize, and you may be seated. You've come to a place of realizing that God loves you. And you want to love him in return. And you want to do that by giving your life back to him. God is the giver of life. And even as we've talked about purpose here today, God has a purpose. And that sounds cliche-ish too, but he really does have a purpose for creating you. It was not just because your mother and father got together. God designed it. God orchestrated it. He ordained that you be here, that you be on this earth. But he wants his purpose to be, his purpose for your life to be fulfilled. You might say, I go to church. I love God. My parents go to church and they pray for me. But God wants you to give yourself to him.